As the president and the GOP meet again today, there's still no deal on the debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. President Obama and Republican leaders are still at it, trying to hammer out a deal that'll raise the nation's debt limit and do it by August 2nd, or the country could default on that debt. The president is speaking to reporters right now. Proposals include cuts to entitlements, getting rid of tax loopholes, even tax increases perhaps down the road. One thing the president this morning said he would not do, and that is agree to a temporary deal, one that's 60 or 90 days.
This is the United States of America, and you know, we don't manage our affairs in three-month increments. We don't risk U.S. default on our obligations because we can't put politics aside.
The president at the White House just about 20 minutes ago. Marketplace's David Gura is live with us from Washington with more on this story. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
All right, so we heard the president just say that he's not looking for any stopgap measure, but we're getting close to a deadline. What's going on?
Well, actually, yesterday, the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was on Fox News, and he was asked if there's a contingency plan. And McConnell said, yes, there's always a contingency plan, but he was kind of coy. He wouldn't share any specifics. Look, if there's no deal by August 2nd, we could see short-term measures to allow negotiations to go on for a little while longer. And, Steve, this deadline's been moved back a couple times before.
Yeah. Well, on Friday, there was a lot of optimism, David, as you know, a big bipartisan deal, perhaps. But the way the president is talking now, and he's still speaking, a deal seems less like he's more combative, it seems like. How did this turnabout happen?
Oh, you're right. I mean, headed into the weekend, President Obama was pretty optimistic. He went to Camp David amid rumors of a grand bargain. But then on Saturday, he got a call. It was House Speaker John Boehner with some bad news. Boehner said Republicans weren't interested in the kind of deal the president wants, one that would save as much as $4 trillion over the next decade from cuts to Medicare and new tax revenue, which is Washington speak for raising taxes. Instead, the GOP seems more interested in a less ambitious deal, one that would center on spending cuts.
But so far, the markets have been performing pretty well through this, David, despite all of the talk of default, right?
Yeah, that's true. But many of the analysts I spoke to said that's because investors cannot fathom, they can't imagine, Congress will not raise the debt limit. And indeed, the president just said at his news conference that the politicians he's talking to, the congressional leadership, won't let that happen. I talked to Scott Brown. He's chief economist at Raymond James, and he said the White House and Congress, they put themselves in a really tough position here trying to raise the debt limit and reduce the deficit.
You can't expect to solve long-term problems under this short-term pressure like this. It just doesn't make any sense.
Brown said the debt limit, which is an economic issue, a fiscal issue, has become a political issue. And right now, the president's trying to assure Americans and investors that despite all the politics, he's taking this seriously, Congress is taking this seriously, and eventually there's going to be a deal.
There's going to be a deal. Huh? We'll see. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are off right now, more than a percent for the Dow, down 148 points at 12,508. Overseas shares are lower today with fears about debt spreading to Italy, having global investors a little nervous today. The British government has delayed a blockbuster TV deal over in the UK amid the fallout from the British phone hacking scandal. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp media company was hoping to buy a controlling stake of the British broadcaster BSkyB, but public outcry had grown heated over the past week.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
Heavy violence today in Damascus and a U.S. embassy attack, too, where the State Department is condemning. So far, about 10,000 Syrians have fled to refugee camps because of the violence in neighboring Turkey. And as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, the costs are piling up.
When there aren't any refugees, the population of Yayladağ is a little more than 6,000 people. It's a dusty border town. It has one main drag, which is lined with places like tea houses and small shops. You don't see a lot of refugees around because they're mostly closed in camps on the edges of town. But everybody knows they're here. Mehmet Aktay grew up in Yayladağ. And a couple of weeks ago, he got a job collecting trash in one of the camps, a job he says will probably double his income.
It's a filthy job dealing with trash. It causes sickness, but at least we have a job.
Until the refugees came here, he only worked occasionally. He would drive a tractor on other people's farms. But he's still worried about the Syrians being here. He says the town already has water shortages, and he wonders if Yayladağ can actually handle twice as many people. This bakery, which is on one end of town, has gotten some extra business because of the refugees. Talib Ferengi is the baker. He's putting flatbread after flatbread into the oven while he talks. He says people from the surrounding villages have collected money to buy bread for the refugees. It's happened a few times, and it's been a nice little bonus for the bakery. But Ferengi wishes he could sell more to the camps. The Turkish Red Crescent, which runs them, actually trucks in most of the supplies for the camps, including bread.
Of course, it would be better if the Red Crescent bought from us, but they don't buy from here. They don't buy anything from the local merchants.
His coworker, who's rolling out the dough, interrupts him to say, as if there were no bakers here, no groceries here. The mayor of Yayladağ says he's trying to find ways to help the refugees that would also let the town benefit more from the camps. But the unrest in Syria is causing other economic problems for the mayor to deal with. Yayladağ used to get a lot of its money from border traffic, and that traffic has nearly stopped since the uprisings in Syria began this spring. In Yayladağ, Turkey, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Finally today, we welcome the world's newest stock exchange, the Cambodian Exchange. Unfortunately, we can't tell you how stocks did on their first day because as of right now, there are no companies listed. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Breakneck growth? Yep. Signs of new money everywhere? Got that. Total sensory overload? Oh, yeah,
The Ferrari's locked in the showroom.
Let's turn around for a minute and look at that Nike store. This is good. They've got Maseratis here, too. What does it make? Nobody wants to come and explain it to me. Can you say culture shock? I'm Kai Rizdal. China all week, courtesy of yours truly. It starts next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.